Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Hour two of the EA Show on the Sports Animal, coming at you live from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, I-75 Callahan Drive, home of the 200,000-mile warranty on all new Kias. Again, right here, I-75 and Callahan Drive. That's Rusty Wallace Key of Knoxville.
Let's play college football trivia. It's brought to you by Where We Are here at Rusty Wallace Kia. 656-9900, callers number 1 and 2. 656-9900, callers number 1 and 2 will play college football trivia. It's presented by Rusty Wallace Key of Knoxville, where we are today, home of the 200,000-mile warranty. And you're playing for a gift card to Breakout Knoxville. BreakoutGames.com/Knoxville. Breakout Knoxville, a ton of fun. You and I have done, you've been there several times. We did it as a...
They have new games, though, that I haven't done. I need to go back.
Yeah. We did, what was that?
It's hard when you have a five-month-old.
Yeah. But it's fun for the whole family and fun, just fun.
Turner and Fallon, I mean, they wouldn't be, they're not old enough to really, like, truly appreciate it, and you'd have to do a lot of the stuff for them, but they would still probably absolutely love that.
It's part problem solving, part adrenaline, end-to-end fun. Breakout Knoxville, 2011 Center Park Drive, Suite 340. We have Will and Robbie on the line. Will, you are caller number one. Do you want to play or pass on college football trivia?
I will play.
He is going to play.
Play, and you never gave him the conference that we're doing. I like that. I like that moxie, Will.
There's a lot of confidence there. All right.
Will's a good kid.
We're in the Big 12, Will. In the Big 12, this team's senior quarterback was 18 of 33 for 211 yards and two touchdowns. This team scored 21 first-half points en route to a road victory in their conference, 42-31. This team's quarterback was 18 to 33, 211 yards, two touchdowns. Took a 21-14 first half lead en route to winning a conference game on the road, 42-31.
Against a team we have played in the somewhat recent past.
Eric gave an extra clue. Who you got?
You want the team or the quarterback?
The team.
Okay, the team with the quarterback that won the game, correct?
Yes.
Okay, that would be Texas.
Yes! Good call. The Texas Longhorns.
Good call, Will. That'd be his name. Good call, Will.
Sam Ellinger went on the road to West Virginia and beat the Mountaineers 42-31. Well, congratulations. You're going home with the gift card to Breakout Knoxville. Stay on the line. Joel will get your information. We will get that prize to you. Yeah, Texas.
Sorry, Robbie.
I'm not...
better luck next time.
I'm not picking Texas, spoiler alert, for tomorrow. I don't think they will have that same success. The fact that they gave up 31 to West Virginia tells me that they're going to give up somewhere around a million on Saturday against Oklahoma.
I'm not a fan of the bulletin board material. I'm not fan of the trash talk. Why wake them up? You don't need to give Oklahoma any other reason to make sure. All you did is guarantee that they're dialed in. That doesn't mean that they're going to play necessarily better or worse, but it all but guarantees that they're going to be focused and giving their best effort. I just don't understand it.
Yeah. The whole horse.
If you're Texas, you want to just let them sleepwalk in there a little bit. Yeah. Tell them how great they are the whole time. Yeah. This team is incredible. You know, we're lucky to be here. You know, just try to take that golly shucks.
It's not Tom Herman style. Tom Herman is very much a talk, and he's let his players do the same thing. And I don't think that's a good strategy for him.
I don't think it is when you're talking about how if you're already good enough to win all your games because you play in a terrible conference, except this one they play this weekend. I mean, don't give them any other reason. I can't take anything positive out of it. I mean, maybe you say if I let them talk, then I let them, you know, talk in every week. So maybe that makes them maybe that makes sure they don't have letdown games. But I don't.
You know, he spent a long time talking about instilling confidence back in the Texas program, and so I understand it from that perspective.
Conceptually, yeah, but.
But it's terrible in execution because you have to go out there every week and they talk a big game. And you know what? You gave up 30-something points to West Virginia. I realize the Big 12 is not a defensive league, but West Virginia is not good. And Texas is going to have to do it. They're going to have to show me something tomorrow to, in my opinion, have a prayer.
I mean, you had them pulled up right there. Go click on their year results real quick. I'm just curious what they've done and what they have moving forward.
Beat Louisiana Tech 45-14, lost LSU 45-38, defeated Rice 48-13, Oklahoma State 36-30, and West Virginia 42-31. So they've allowed
this is their only bottom line. This is their second game against a good football team. Now, a really good football team, but they're going to be 0-2 against those really good football teams.
Then they have Kansas at TCU, Iowa State on the road at Baylor, who's undefeated right now, and then close it out with Texas Tech.
Baylor's the only one, but if you click on Baylor, Baylor hadn't had to do anything impressive yet either.
Baylor, Stephen F. Austin, Texas, San Antonio, Rice, Iowa State, Kansas State.
Come on. They're undefeated, and they haven't played literally anybody. Now, I'm not listening. That's not Tennessee me coming in, because you know what both of these teams have done, Texas and Baylor?
One more games than we
have. Well, they have won the games that they're supposed to win, and you cannot say that about Tennessee. I understand that. But we're also, like, really, really bad right now because of it. These teams are going to be, you know, arguing and complaining, and we haven't lost. This is the year that it's a good thing Oklahoma has Jalen Hurts, who's looking like he's going to end up being a Heisman finalist, and they'll have to go undefeated. If you play in the Pac-12, the Big Ten, the ACC, or the Big 12, literally anywhere but the SEC on this particular year, you better go undefeated. Because we have three football teams that I would put up against any of those teams.
Yeah.
And you can't have Georgia, LSU, and honestly, Auburn, maybe. But I think Auburn and Florida are kind of on the second tier of still really good and could absolutely beat Oklahoma, Ohio State, or anybody, or Clemson. They absolutely could. But I think Georgia, Alabama, and LSU are actively better than those teams.
Yeah.
Right now, anyway.
Yeah.
There's never been – this is good. This is a year where we should have two SEC teams in the Final Four.
Now, if Florida wins tomorrow, it flips the script a little bit. I don't think they will.
If Florida wins tomorrow at LSU –
yeah.
Then Dan Mullen goes, best thing about being 7-0 is you get to go 8-0. If they win at LSU in a night game, then they need to get bumped up at that point in time with who they've played and who they've beat and how they've won to, at worst, third. At worst.
Yeah.
They would Bama, I get it, Clemson's your reigning champion and they haven't lost. But if Florida does that, I would argue it needs to go.
I'd say the same thing for LSU, though. I think the winner of tomorrow's game needs to be in the top four. That's what I said last night.
Should be the third. Yeah, I mean, they should be. It really should go Bama and then the winner of the LSU-Florida game, Georgia. Then it should go Clemson. Then it should go Oklahoma or Ohio State. And those two teams, to me, the Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, it's not their fault that they don't play anybody.
Yeah.
But I think you got to put Ohio State and Oklahoma over Clemson right now, because at least they're demolishing people.
Yeah, Clemson is
barely scraping by. They keep winning, but it's
Florida State 2014, where they won a national championship, and this year they have struggled. They're really, really good, but have struggled to reclaim the magic.
Yeah, and they still have, you know, and they'll probably come back next year and be amazing. But I hate the argument that, well, that's your national champion last year. So, I understand that for the first 2 to 3 weeks of college football, because you don't know anything about anybody yet.
Then you got to start doing a resume.
Oh, yeah, man. The college football playoff committee, don't they start putting their official top four, but their top 25 out? Don't they do that here in the next, like, week or two?
Yeah.
It's time, man.
Yeah, I think week after next is the first one, because they do six.
As we sit here today, I think Alabama's one. I think Georgia is probably two. LSU is probably three. I think Ohio State is probably four. Oklahoma, I would put at five. I would put Clemson at number six. And then you get to the rest of the teams after that. And maybe you could say Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma, like everybody 2 through 6 is one giant. It's going to sort itself out, so it doesn't really matter.
Clemson fans, that is Eric Ainge, at Eric with a K, Ainge3.
You are at best the sixth best team in the country right now.
Write that down.
Last year was great. You did great, but last year was last year, dude. That's not going to matter if you get beat in the semifinals by 20. You're not going to be able to say, well, we won it last year, so that means we won this. No, that's not how you play sports.
Who are Tennessee's five best players? We're going to talk about that when we come back. 656-9900. It's
I'd
the
say
Arcane
at best
Show.
Six.
FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
A little out of breath there.
What were you doing?
I was showing Andy the proper technique to pooch punt. We were talking about kicking field goals and stuff. Longest field goal I ever kicked. Now, I'm a toe kicker. I'm not a soccer-style kicker. You know, I'm no Ray Finkel.
Yeah.
But I, you know, do prefer laces out. I'm a toe kicker, the old-school kind. And I kicked a 47-yarder one time in pregame. Now, that's with no rush and no one coming at me. Then I started showing Andy the proper technique to do a pooch punt, because I was amazing at pooch punting. We would do it before the game. We'd stand at the 40 or the 50 and just try to drop it in there.
Guy just walked in and said, hey, there's Casey Clawson.
Oh, you left me hanging, too.
And then he didn't. And then
you
he
left
didn't
me
give
hanging.
Me the high five.
I got him back.
I'm going to eat this up the rest of the day.
But you know, I was great at pooch punting, before the games. We would always go, me and Jim Bob were by far the two best, and we would go out there and compete pretty ferociously, sometimes with a little something on it. Down in the, I could get it between the 5 and 10 pretty consistently.
Okay. Why did you never do it in a
game? With no rush. We used to have it in. It used to be a thing where, like, it was practice, but I played with these guys named Britton and Dustin Colquitt.
They're pretty good.
So when push came to shove, Fulmer went ahead and always threw the All-American out there, who was amazing at pinning them deep.
I am kind of surprised, though, that you never did it. You know, because if you want to set up the good fake and, oh, he may be punch-pooting.
Punch-pooting? That sounds like an aggressive fart.
Yeah.
Pooch-punt? Keep going.
It's Friday. Leave me alone.
Keep going. Pooch-punt.
Yeah, if you want to do it, you I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Now,
all right.
Fulmer never called it. We also had the speed option in. Cut would put that in every week. And then when, again, push came to shove, we just went ahead and handed the ball to our all-conference caliber running backs behind our all-conference caliber offensive line that we had. Indeed called the fun stuff.
Who are Tennessee's five best players, Eric Ainge? GoVols 24/7 came up with their 10, and they did some really good scientific
who
things
did,
to talk about it.
Give me the quick version of who they picked.
Well, I don't want to run through their whole version because respect the paywall, but there are some guys that are that are really good on it. What do you think? You have to make your list of five.
Do you have your list of five?
Sure.
Give me your list of five while I decide what my list of five is. Because I know three of them are easy, but the last couple are hard there.
Well, I start with Daniel Patchouli. I think he's been – his stats have not popped as much as they should because I think he's been asked to do a lot of things. So I go with Patchouli on that. My number two is going to be Juwan Jennings. My number three, Henry To'oto.
A freshman.
Go freshman because similar. He's gotten less attention from defenses as Patchouli because they know that Patchouli's been a wrecking crew for his career. But Henry T. has been able to come in and make a huge impact. So he's my number three. I go four, Ty Chandler, though you still would like certainly more out of him. And then five, I go Trey Smith. Because though he has not been dominant freshman Trey Smith, Tennessee's a better football team when he's out there than when he's not. And so those are my five.
I think that's pretty good. Though I always have to back into these answers when I do it. When you see, I'm okay. I'll tell you who it's not first.
All right,
it's not a running back in my opinion.
Okay,
and although quarterback's by far the most important position, it's not a quarterback. So it's not a tight end because they're not playing quite good enough yet. So the five best, we're talking five best, not five most important, five best. It's not a running back. See, Ty Chandler's played pretty good, and he's ran really hard and all that, but he's been so absent in the passing game. And believe it or not, folks, I do blame some of that on him. His route running this year has been bad. He is not running good pass routes. The flare route that was a lateral against Florida when JG threw it and it was called an incompletion, but it was a lateral.
Yeah.
It happened to Tom Brady last night, and Brady was smart. He was smart enough to wait as long as he could, so he threw it forward by an inch. But the running back ran such a bad route that he basically had to dive and catch it for a 2-yard loss. So it happens even in the NFL. I'm not slamming Chandler. I'm just saying – who knows how many yards he'd have if he were running routes crisper, catching the ball on his upfield shoulder with a chance to go make guys miss. He'd probably look the same way he did last year in the passing game when we utilized him. So he needs to start by running routes better, but it's not Dominique Wood Anderson. He's only got 7 catches against the 4 good teams that we've played. And it's not a quarterback. So that leaves me offensive line and wide receiver. Juwan Jennings is probably, I'm going to say, our best player. Not just from a production, from a production standpoint, it's definitely him. So I'm going to say Juwan Jennings. And then I'm going to say offensive line. The offensive line is so improved this year from last year. I'm going to put 2 guys on there. I actually think Brandon Kennedy has been playing our best football as an offensive lineman. Better than Trey Smith even. Not by a lot, but better. But I'm going to put Brandon Kennedy and Trey Smith in my top five. So I got Kennedy, Trey Smith, and Juwan Jennings from the offense.
Okay.
I don't think there's not a D lineman that you could say is the best on our is one of our best players right now. Again, it needs to be. We need to have a guy like that's playing at that level. But Darrell Taylor's not. He hasn't all year. I know he's getting way more attention, and there's way easier for the defenses to focus on him. He's for sure the first guy in the game plan personnel report that teams go through. 19 is definitely the first guy that they talk about, so that's doesn't lend itself to big, giant numbers all over the place. But even though, so that leaves us defensive back and linebacker. It's not a safety. Theo Jackson, Nigel Warrior, Trayvon Flowers. It's none of those guys. Schamberger has been playing good football. not top five on the team, but he's been playing good football. Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson both have the ability. You know, I think Bryce Thompson, if we do this same question in 2 or 3 weeks from now, I think I think he'll probably crack my top five. But I'm gonna put the two line. I mean, I'm gonna put the two linebackers in there as well. So you got Batuli and Henry T. So my top five is Juwan Jennings, Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy, Daniel Batuli, and Henry T. And I don't know what order, but that's my five best players.
All right.
Juwan Jennings, Brandon Kennedy, Trey Smith, Daniel Batuli, and Henry T. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, you have your two linebackers, two offensive linemen, and a wide receiver. There's definitely, I mean, any team that's playing at a super high level right now, the fact I guarantee their quarterback is in their top five. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's true for every team in the top 10. But, I mean, even if you looked at a school like Florida who's playing with a backup quarterback, Trask is for sure one of their five best players. For sure.
And he wasn't even on the radar. We were having serious discussions before Tennessee. Well, I mean,
you don't know. Well, I mean, he's never played. I mean, it's – yeah, but that's a win for them because you don't know what you got, and then you put him out there, and you're like, sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if they knew – do you think Dan Mullen catches any flack? He's had Kyle Trask on his team since the day he took the job.
Yeah.
He's been there the whole time Felipe Franks has been there. I know they won 10 games last year, but Kyle Trask,
they struggled to see
if he's they lost a couple that they shouldn't have. I mean, if you put Trask out there this whole time, my point is, I don't blame Dan Mullen for waiting to put Trask out there until he had to put Trask out there.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to coach up what you know, especially if you think what you know is good enough to win, than it is to pull the trigger. I mean, if Bo Nix was a freshman right now, but, oh gosh, Auburn's quarterback last year. Come on. Stidham, thank you, thank you. If Stidham is still on the team and he's a senior this year, and Bo Nix is a freshman, I guarantee Jarrett Stidham is the starting quarterback at Auburn. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, but one of the reasons why Bo Nix is as good as he is right now is because they had from January until now to prepare him to start game one. You know, that's
exactly
the difference. If Jared Garantano wasn't on the team and you hadn't brought in a grad transfer, or even if you had, if you'd been able to prepare Brian Maurer to be the starting quarterback from January to now, then he looks different now. He looks about –
Who knows what he actually looks like, because you'd have – you had three football games that you could have learned everything you needed to learn, and you could have had those games where he turned it over a bunch.
Yeah, and
it doesn't cost you games. Yeah. Now you've reached the point
people
would be a lot more okay with it.
Yeah, I think it would have changed your game plans against those first.
You'd have a better opportunity to be going into games like this. I mean, listen, it's unfortunate for him. But if he throws a pick and has a fumble in this game, we're not going to win.
Yeah.
So if the goal is to win, he can't do that. I mean, it's that simple. And that's true for every quarterback that plays in a tight ball game. It's not a special standard for him. He has to understand that you can't throw the ball over.
All right, we'll come back. We'll have the SEC preview coming up on the other side on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the Eric Gaines Show on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. It's time for our SEC preview. It's brought to you by LBMC and LBMC.com. Brian, what's on the docket for SEC football this weekend?
All right, so we start with a nooner down in Athens, Georgia, where the Bulldogs are a 23-point favorite over South Carolina. South Carolina did have a good performance against Alabama earlier this year. They take some hope that they can do something against the Bulldogs in this game based on that? Don't know. Georgia hasn't had too many issues this year outside of a late stop against Notre Dame, but they don't also blow the doors off teams like an Oklahoma or an Ohio State, like you mentioned earlier. So what does Georgia need to do in this game coming off the win over Tennessee? South Carolina leads the SEC in fewest penalty yards, and they have taken the ball away at least twice in three of their last four games. Plus two
penalties and turnovers.
South Carolina, the only reason they're not worse than they are is because they're not. They don't turn the ball over a lot, and they don't commit a lot of penalties.
Even if they don't, quote, beat themselves this weekend, they still won't beat Georgia.
Nobody scored more than 17 on the Georgia defense, and, well, frankly, you're going to need to score more than 17 to have a prayer of beating Jake Fromm and that offense.
Mm-hmm.
Also at noon, of course, is Mississippi State and Tennessee. A full preview of that coming up later. Alabama's on the road at Texas A&M. And this is interesting. I can find it some places, but on ESPN's big board, the spread has been taken down. Now, when you look at when I go to Vegas Insider, it's up at about half the ones they are listed and not on some of the others, which is interesting. If you look at ESPN's, they've got nothing up. Alabama was a 17-point favorite going in when I made the notations yesterday. But the 24th-ranked Aggies at 3-2. Lost to number one Clemson a month ago. Now they get to play their second number one team of the year as Alabama passed up the Tigers a couple of weeks back. They know the challenge that faces them, and this could be a measuring stick to compare Clemson and Alabama. Clemson defeated Texas A&M 24-10 back on September 7th. Now they get Alabama. 16.5-point, 17-point underdogs are the Aggies, trying to become the first team to even challenge Alabama this year. Nobody has been
they
within
won't.
24 points of the Crimson Tide.
I don't think this one will be either.
I agree with you. I think this was an opportunity for CBS to show Alabama, and they took it, not thinking that Florida would beat Auburn last week and they'd miss out on an undefeated game that we'll get to in a minute. Texas A&M does get to have their experienced quarterback in Kellen Mond go against a Crimson Tide defense with a lot of freshmen on it. And Mond could find room to run. Last week, Mississippi freshman John Rhys Plumlee ran for 109 yards. Excuse me, 2 weeks ago, Alabama had an off week last week coming in to this one. We go to, at 4 o'clock, UNLV is at Vanderbilt, a matchup of 1-4 teams that are hopeless. At least UNLV gets to go back to Las Vegas at the end of the game. Ole Miss is on the road at Missouri at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. That's on ESPN2. Missouri, a 12.5-point favorite. Matt Luke said this week that he's excited about the Wyoming film he watched against Missouri because of the way Wyoming ran wild against the Tigers. He's hoping that the aforementioned quarterback can do the same after coming off a little success against Alabama. Ole Miss beat Vanderbilt a week ago and ran very well against the Commodores at home. The Rebels have run for 692 yards over the last two games. Alabama and Vanderbilt, the most in any two-game span since the school gained 754 against LSU and Tennessee back in 1977. They nearly had three 100-yard rushers last week against Vanderbilt. John Rhys Plumlee had 165 yards and a touchdown after that performance against Alabama. Jerrion Ealy ran for 97 and a touchdown. Snoop Connor, 91 yards and another touchdown. Is there anything more out of place in Oxford, Mississippi than a person named Snoop?
No. I would say, where's Kansas at?
Lawrence.
Is that where you, the university?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, KU?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I would expect him in Lawrence.
Okay, well, especially after last week. Missouri
and Athens.
Missouri quarterback Kelly Bryant injured his knee last week against Troy. An MRI says he has no torn ligaments. Bryant said earlier this week that he's 90%. I seriously doubt that he's 90%, but he's going
to
say
if they're going to do tests to determine whether or not you have torn ligaments, I doubt you're at 90%.
Agreed. So we'll find out at game time tomorrow.
Maybe good enough to play.
Arkansas is at Kentucky in another game you probably don't want to watch, especially considering it's on against Florida LSU. But the Wildcats against Arkansas, both teams 2-3, Arkansas can't get any offense going. Neither can Kentucky. Florida was able to get enough out of Felipe Franks and Kyle Trask to hit the 300-yard mark against Kentucky, but they are the only 300-yard passing team against Kentucky this year, and they haven't allowed a touchdown pass in the last two games, only three all season long. I don't expect that to change against a reasonably punchless Arkansas offense. Arkansas really needs to try to find something to get going, and they can point to a Kentucky effort against South Carolina that was not good in creating some opportunity to win, but they're going to have to score some points coming off of their close loss against Texas A&M. They're feeling good about that one. Kentucky, though, a 6.5-point favorite, and it all wraps up with Florida and LSU, 8 o'clock at Tiger Stadium. 5-0 Tigers, 6-0 Gators. There's a lot of pressure now on LSU. You have Joe Burrow mania that's been going around, and LSU has been putting up incredible numbers.
I think you could argue they have maybe even a better wide receiving core than Alabama.
But LSU defensively has yet to play a top 50 defense.
And you mean offense?
No.
You said LSU's defense has yet to play a top 50 defense.
Okay, I thought I said LSU has yet to.
Did you mean offense?
No, LSU, period, has yet to play against a top 50 defense. So, Joe Burrow's numbers may be a little bit of fool's gold. We don't know. Florida's secondary is the first test for that coming up this week.
It's cool. I mean, just like last week with the Florida-Auburn game, we didn't really know what it was going to look like. But, and again, I think Auburn, if they played him again and Bo Nix didn't have the worst game of his football life, Auburn could absolutely beat Florida. But that might be a 5 out of 10 Auburn wins, 5 out of 10 Florida wins. I think LSU, if Florida is to beat them, I think it's going to be because LSU self-destructs and self-inflicted, and they make stupid plays, stupid penalties. Because I believe LSU is a 7 or 8 out of 10 they would beat Florida. But yeah, you never know. I mean, this could be this. That still means Florida could win.
Well, the other question in this game is Kyle Trask. What is his health? He got through the Auburn game but suffered a knee injury, threw for 234 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did fumble a couple of times, and that could come into play against a really good LSU defense. And that's your SEC preview. It's brought to you each week by LBMC.
LBMC started as just a financial firm, a tax, you know, your CPA firm in Nashville in the mid-'80s. And now we sit here in 2019. They're a top 50 firm in the country, a top 5 firm regionally in the Southeast United States, and they're the number 1 professional services firm in the state of Tennessee, and they're based out of Nashville, Chattanooga, and Knoxville. I mean, so they're as volunteer state as it gets, but they have clients in all 50 countries. You don't have to be a giant, you know, company that's saying, hey, we're private, do we want to go public? Or, I mean, you can get a business valuation for a new company. You can help, you know, they can help you through that process. We use them with Shade Savers a bunch to help us get to the point where we're going to be coming pretty soon. And I use them for my taxes. I mean, if you want, they have the best CPAs and tax advisors here in town. Wealth management, if you're looking for someone to do that, everything. Basically, they make your business better. LBMC.com.
All right, we'll come back here to Rusty Walls Kia of Knoxville and Callahan Drive, home of the 200,000-mile warranty on the Eric Haines Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. We've been having a killer show today, I think, Brian, and we've been running a little behind here, so we're going to catch up here on this break.
We messed up with the clock, but that's okay. I do want to remind everybody that tonight at Lee Stadium, Tennessee softball fall season continues. They have Middle Tennessee State tonight at 7. Well, might be a little revenge game there for the old state classic where Allie Shipman got hurt. I said, are you going to get hit? And they said no. And I was like, well, where's the fun in that? But Middle Tennessee State tonight at 7 at Lee Stadium. Then 1 o'clock, Duke comes to town on Sunday. So you can check both of those out. And also Tennessee Volleyball tonight, 6:30, Thompson Bowling Arena. You'll hear me there on the PA mic. My volleyball PA career is a freshman in college. Done it for 18 years, half my life.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm old.
You don't look it, though. That's good.
And they're back at it on Sunday at 1:30 at Thompson Bowling Arena as well. So softball and volleyball on campus this weekend. And a big win for Tennessee soccer last night. Second straight shutout. Had to say that very carefully. Second straight shutout for Brian Penske's Volunteers last night at Regal Stadium. And they march on this weekend as well. You can check out the full schedule for all of it at utsports.com. And click on the Fan HQ page and find out all the cool deals that they have going on for all of those. So it should be a fun weekend. And by the way, softball is free all weekend because it's the fall. They're not allowed to charge. And if you bring your Mississippi State ticket to volleyball tonight, you get in free.
Nice.
So, have a big crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. Last time that you were on here, and we had Coach Rackham, correct?
Yes.
We had her on here, and you guys were telling everybody to go. They ended up
set
having
a record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a great environment. It's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to hour number three of the Eric Haines Show coming up as well.
It starts best hour
with the picks segment brought to you by Native Design and Hardscape. Next, we'll also have our Tennessee football preview and Eric's keys to the game here in hour number three of the Eric Haines Show. But Jake is in-house. Chad is in-house. We're ready to roll for the pick segment on the other side.
Woo!
On FM 99.1, the sports app.
Woo!